Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Lisa Cast on Blog Talk Radio.
Pardon me, just getting used to my switchboard here. If you're just joining me now, welcome to Lisa Cast. This is our first show on Blog Talk Radio. And I believe we have a caller here. But first, for those of you who don't know me, I've recently joined Blog Talk Radio to help get the word out about the service. So I'll mention here that today's live talk show, archived on Blog Talk Radio along with dozens of other genres of shows, was free and took me just a few minutes to set up. I have long been interested in empowering technologies either through detaching you from so much time trying to figure out the technology or making your participation mean something greater, and Blog Talk Radio does both of these. You can manage a live conversation, engage people from around the world with a call-in number, and continue the dialogue through comments, chat, and an ongoing relationship with listeners. Essentially, and for the most part today, blogs, video blogs, and podcasts are all one-way conversations. But you're going to see that change very soon all over the place, and maybe some of you contribute your comments to conversations like this already. Blog Talk Radio aims to do that around the live conversation. So let's see if we have our guest on the line. Raphael, let's see if this is him.
This is Lisa?
Yes, it is. Hey, Raphael, how are you?
I am fine. It's a nice day here in New York today, night, and sunny, even though I haven't been out yet.
Oh, that's good that you can see that it's sunny. Well, that's promising. We have sun in California here today, which happens to be Mother's Day.
Yes, I know.
And today I want to talk with you about your recent experiences in New York with the justice system there, and in your piloting to get press credentials. Maybe you can start by telling me a little bit about your background and sharing with the listeners about your history with journalism and what drove you into it.
But my background, I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. I came here in 1951 during the McCarthy era. Mm-hmm. Since then, I have been involved in community issues, whether it have been in the civil rights movement during the 60s or the anti-war movement. But I have always been trying to deal with issues affecting the poor community, whether it be Puerto Rican, other Latin, Asian, poor white, and so. I have been covering City Hall for close to 25 years, several mayors, and I've been have press credential ever since. But now under the Bloomberg administration, because they do not like the question that I ask, they have decided to ban me from the Blue Room. That, in essence, is a violation of my constitutional right of the First Amendment.
And there's a couple of blogs that have been picking up that story, one on Room 8, New York politics, and the other one on The Politicker, which I posted links to. Those are people basically advocating for you to receive those credentials, yes?
But I assume so, but I do have an appointment with the police department for May 15 to renew my press credential. Mm-hmm. I am of the belief that done deal that the Bloomberg administration has told the police department not to renew mine. I would not be surprised they don't renew it. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we might have to take it to court. And this, in essence, what I've been doing now at this time, just waiting. I had all the documents that is required by the police department to renew the license. That's it, you know, three pieces of article that I had written in within the last 6 months. I'm waiting now, but I'd be surprised they would issue me press credential, because it is a way in which the Bloomberg administration trying to keep me, my mouth shut. It's a violation of the, not only of the First Amendment, of civil rights. And this is a man who's a media mogul. Bloomberg, when he came into power, he took the oath of office in New York City, his fortune was $5.6 billion. Now, in less than 6 years, his fortune is over $13 billion, even though he said that he have a blind trust. How come, you know, that fortune had all of this sudden, it was over 100% duplicated? And that means that there are companies, big corporations, that do business with the city, and they do business too with Bloomberg RP. And the other day, in a news conference, that they allowed me to attend news conference outside of City Hall, that he was telling the people how, you know, he accomplished everything that he had promised when he ran. He investigated himself, of course, he's doing well. But then he chastised the press, saying to the press, you are the, and I'm quoting him, you are the fourth state, and you do not add the pointed question to the elected officials that you should do. And when I look at him, I say, oh my God, this guy, you know, he's lying there, he's a hypocrite, because he had banned me from his news conference.
And you're still banned right now today, right?
I still banned, yes. I cannot go. I could go to other sections of City Hall, New York, the City Council. By the way, the other, that you probably saw in Room 8, 16 present council members, especially the Latino caucus at City Hall, they signed and sent a letter to the mayor protesting my banning from Room 9 after so many years there.
So here's an example, right, where the larger community can get involved and is participating more on your behalf and on causes that they care about. The letters being written, you know, one of the questions that I jotted down to talk with you about is what you think we might do to raise the credibility of new media reporting and how others can help you with arguments like this. When is your date that you meet again for your credentials?
Next Tuesday on May 15th at 11:30 a.m. New York Times.
What do you think about that, Rafael? How do you think that the general public can help you?
Oh, the general public can help, you know. I posted an article in my website, on my blog, about Bill Moyer, the citizen journalist. And it was written by a lady who had been probably having the same problem that I have at the UN. By the way, I was talking to Ms. Housen, Rhonda Hoven, and she knows you.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, she met you in Korea.
Oh, she did? Oh, that's
the... She met her in Korea, I said, but she had missed because she'd be going to San Francisco, I think, the 22nd of this
month. Rhonda, I remember Rhonda.
Yeah, she'd be going on a conference that's taking in citizen journalism.
That's right.
In San Francisco.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, hi, Rhonda, if you're listening.
I remember
that she and her husband were both from New York. That's great. Wow. Talk about a small world.
Yeah, that was. Anyway, what people could help, many things they could write to the mayor office, protesting my banning from City Hall. They could call the press office, that the number is 212-788-2958.
2958, okay.
And they could call, you know, many other elected officials in this country, that citizen journalists like Bill Moyer, we need them, because the press, the media today is owned by big corporation, that the bottom line is money, profit. They don't care about the public. Let me tell you, I've been in City Hall for over, New York City Hall for over almost 25 years. And what I see is the press there, the press assigned there presently, they are no longer the eye and ear of the public, but they are, you know, bought by the power to be. When did you go to a news conference, one of the reporters asked the mayor, what kind of cheese do you like? Imagine the cheese. And the other day, another reporter who is the favorite of the mayor asking him about the why the Yankees were in the last place, the baseball team. And to me, when I look at them, I say, what kind of question is that? Why do you know that had to do with the mayor making decisions that affect the people of New York?
Right, and who gets to decide what they get to hear about throughout the day? I want to talk to you for a moment about political transparency. In our neighborhood over here, at the Center for Citizen Media, that Dan Gilmore, a prior journalist for the San Jose Mercury News, created. They are piloting a project with UC Berkeley to build in that transparency to a congressional district election. This is one of their projects, and it's a program that emphasizes drawing on citizen opinion and the time that they put into, you know, building. Building stories, and their website says that they might make this available nationwide by 2008. So you can find that at citmedia.org, which is CITMEDIA.org. And so I think that's certainly a step in the right direction. And you know, maybe related to this topic, there's a caller that I believe is from the Bay Area here that might have a question for you. So let me see what that might
be. But I would like to say, too, that we need more Dan Gilmore in this country to do those things, especially here in New York City.
I completely agree. Is the caller there?
This is J.D. Lassica from ourmedia.org.
Hey, J.D., great.
Hi, Lisa. I have two questions for Raphael. One is, can you tell us just a little bit about what was the article that you wrote about the Bloomberg administration that got you banned, or were there a series of articles?
Well, I did wrote an article about the Bloomberg administration. It was positive several months ago that I say that what Bloomberg did for the city, he could do for the country, because when the mayor came into power, this city was totally divided by the previous mayor, Rudy Giuliani. By the way, I do own about 300 videotape of Giuliani news conference while he was mayor, that I've been putting in my website, in Google, that contradict everything that he's been saying today. But I haven't, what the Bloomberg administration didn't like, it was because I did ask questions that were concerning issues affecting the Latino, the Black, the Afro-American community, and the poor people. And they didn't like that. And his press secretary, Stu Loser, one time in a big restaurant here in Manhattan, the Four Seasons, he started screaming at me that I was a heckler, that I was threatening them, that I never done that. I am not a heckler. I ask pertinent questions. Even Rudy Giuliani, in his wider dream, and I was tough on him, and I asked questions, he never dared to ban me from City Hall or have his press secretary do that. But Bloomberg, because he's so rich and people, you know, he seems that he controls people because the money that he has at hand, doing that.
Can I ask my second question is about citizen journalism. And given that you're now banned from asking questions at this kind of press conference, do you think it still can be effective for citizen journalists to watchdog the Bloomberg administration if they don't have this kind of access? Is access all that important, or can citizen journalists do things and provide coverage that the traditional press and media aren't doing, or ask the questions that that aren't being asked by the mainstream media?
Well, I think that that could be done both ways, either by covering him if they be allowed to, and also by writing the way they conduct the affair of government, the way they do don't allow just their friendly reporters. There's an example the other day on a news conference that I mentioned before. He praised the bureau chief of the Daily News because the comment that he made about Bloomberg presidential ambition in the Times magazine. And then he chose those reporters that are friendly with him in there. The denizen of Room 9, that the reporter run in City Hall, they are no longer serving the public. They serving the power to be, in this case, Bloomberg. Let me say an example. David Dinkins was the first elected Afro-American mayor in New York. And he was the only mayor, even before he took the oath of office, that the press began criticizing him, asking hard questions. And one time I was in a conference before he took office, while he was borough president, and some reporters say that he doesn't have, you know, this is, I quote a reporter from CBS, say he does not have the intellect to run New York City, to be mayor. And they've been attacking him. Why? Because he was the wrong color. But when Giuliani came, they surrendered to him. At one time, because the reporter, they didn't like the question that I asked to Rudy Giuliani. Even before, the next day, you would find it on all the newspaper, my question. They wrote about it. So on the electronic media. However, one time, some member of the Room 9, they were trying to get me to be kicked out of City Hall because they didn't like the question I asked Rudy Giuliani. They got me there. And then another friend of mine told me what was happening, and the only people who refused to go along with the New York Post and the Daily News were the New York Times, the Newsday, and the AP person at City Hall. And that's the way that I've been dealing with those people for so many years, not only the political establishment, but the mainstream media. And then forget about the Latino media. The Latino media doesn't do anything either, whether it be el Diario de Nueva York, that it's owned by non-Latino, imprimedia on those papers. The same thing goes by the Univision on Telemundo. Telemundo is owned by NBC, and Univision owned by Latinos are not owning their own media. The so-called Latino media in this country is owned by other interests and other corporations. That, in essence, the Latino, we don't have a voice, both in the media and in government.
Well, so, Rafael, maybe the citizen media mechanisms that are popping up here there that you and I both participate in as well are going to help level that field and let us have a more democratic representation.
Well, Lisa, also I would welcome some of your listeners or writers to contribute to my blog, to your free press, thatblogspot.com, and deal with those issues.
JD's working on some initiatives in that regard, too. Did Raphael answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
I should probably mention that for your listeners, the listeners of the LisaCast, that this week, actually, our media, we're hoping to roll out a new program on our side. We're calling it a Remix Politics channel. And anybody will be able to come in and access footage of videotapes of some of the presidential candidates, appearances, press conferences, commercials, remix it, add their own commentary, put it up on our site, download it to your own site. We'll have RSS feeds. You can embed videos on your own blog. So the idea is basically to help give the tools and resources to the public, to the citizenry, to become more involved and engaged in the political process.
That's the same thing I've been trying to do with my blog, to put in, you know, videotape.
Did you post your videos, Raphael? Have you posted them?
Yeah, I have posted several videos on Rudy Giuliani and Bloomberg. And this is the other thing, because now I do have a video camera, and I was taping the mail, a news conference. And that when my problem began with them, because previous mayor of New York, they have a channel here, the city channel, and they rebroadcast their news conference with the question and answer. Now under Bloomberg, they do the same, but when it comes to question and answer, they cut it off. They don't broadcast that. And that's it. And don't forget that what is happening. No, I've been, if you look at Rudy in the Rod, R-A-W, you've seen all the videos there on Rudy Giuliani's, and
did
the same thing you find on Bloomberg, on my
site. Sorry,
did you say
Rudy in the Raw?
R-A-W.
Okay. Uh-huh, no, I got it. Okay. That's a funny name. Raphael, do you have someone that you think is already going to win the presidential election, or do you have a preference at this stage?
Oh my God! You know, I don't think there no one there. Whoever might be president may be not running yet. They just announced that Senator Hager going to run on the Independent Party line. Bloomberg is entertaining that idea to run because he could finance himself. And I don't know. I mean, I think Obama is a very charming, very intelligent person, but I do not think that he's ready yet. Senator Clinton, which I know very well, and I kind of like her. However, lately she has been, you don't know where to find her. Now she's coming back, you know, the question of the war in Iraq and her vote. They bother now that she's coming to put a cap, you know, to withdraw there. At this time, I don't know yet. I think that anybody would be better than the dumb person that we had there now.
You said you didn't think that Obama was ready. Do you think that he is not prepared at this point in his political career, or that the U.S. isn't necessarily ready for a black president?
Oh, Lisa, what I could say is, I mean, like I say, he's a very charming and charismatic person. But I think Obama is the dream of the Republican Party to stay at the White House, to have a black to run for president. They will love that because the country is not ready yet for an African American person to be president. And I, for that same reason, I might say it's not ready yet for a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would like to see either of them to be president.
Well, I think either way, we can be sure that that the general public is going to have a larger vote in that one way or another. And what you're doing by, you know, extending your journalism reach into your own blog, video, other articles, expanding that reach is important in that process. So I'm behind you, and we hope that the listeners will also participate in the ways that you said and take a look at your blog, which is yourfreepress.blogspot.com, and contribute to the conversation themselves. I thank you very much, Raphael, for your time. Our show.
Do I have a minute for something now?
Sure. Yeah. You have almost exactly a minute.
Yeah. You know what happened? It says a friend of mine called me that there's a young woman that disappeared near Cancun, where she was at Tulum, Mexico. Dana Richby is an Israeli citizen. And I would like to listen to if they know anything about her to communicate it to the police in Mexico.
Mm.
This is, I don't know this woman, but it's a friend of a friend of mine.
Mm.
And her name is Dana Richby, R-I-S-H-P-Y. If anything people could do to find the whereabouts of this woman would be appreciated by her family.
Well, that's, I'm sorry to hear that. Let's send me the information and I'll post it too, and we'll see if we can put some feelers out
okay,
there.
Okay, so it was on the, okay, I shall. And I thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you, Raphael. I appreciate our discussion and look forward to keeping in touch with you and wish you the best on the 15th.
Okay, then. Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. And thank you for listening. We are going to wrap up our show and see you again next Sunday. I appreciate the call-ins and any conversations that you'd like to have continuing after this. Please check out lisacast.com, and we'll see you then.
Today's show is brought to you by Netgear, makers of home, business, and broadband networking products. Check out Netgear at www.netgear.com.